And now back. Now back. And now back to the Jennifer Fallweiler Show from Austin, Texas.
Good people on both sides, mm-hmm. and I feel that what the Pope is trying to do is to reach out to those people and show them that it is possible to be pro-Israeli, pro-Palestinian, and pro-peace all at the same time.
Right.
And I mean, as Catholics, it's our duty to be the peacemakers.
The message of love is the strongest, is the most effective, and the most influential.
It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter what language you speak. It doesn't matter what religion you practice. We are all children of God. And I think that was the predominant message of the Pope's visit here in the Holy Land.
Isn't that great? You just heard a clip from A Papal Pilgrimage in the Holy Land by Diana von Glahn, my guest for this segment. Diana is the co-producer of The Faithful Traveler, a television series that looks at travel and pilgrimage through the eyes of faith. She is a graduate of the San Diego School of the Creative and Performing Arts. She has a bachelor's in English from Pepperdine University, law degree from the University of Notre Dame Law, and she and her husband work together on The Faithful Traveler series. I cannot wait to talk to her about this. Diana, welcome to the Jennifer Fallweiler Show.
Hi, Jennifer Fallweiler. Thank you for having me.
Diana, are you with me?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Now I can hear you. All right, Diana, welcome to the Jennifer Fallweiler Show.
Thank you for having me, Jennifer.
So tell me, all right, so you have this new, is it a film or a series coming out? It's called A Papal Pilgrimage in the Holy Land. I've seen some emails about this, and I'm really excited about this. So Diana, tell me about this new special that you have.
It is a 3-episode special. For your listeners who don't know about The Faithful Traveler, we are basically a Catholic travel series. And normally what we do is what you see on the Travel Channel, except we go to Catholic places. So our previous series was in the Holy Land. The series before that, we went to Catholic shrines and places of pilgrimage here in the United States. Our next series is going to be on Portugal. But A Papal Pilgrimage in the Holy Land is a special because we were blessed to follow parts of Pope Francis's pilgrimage to the Holy Land in 2014, and we filmed parts of that. And so what this series is doing is it's examining what that pilgrimage was about. What is the story behind all these papal pilgrimages? Why are they important? Why is it important that the Pope met with the Patriarch, the Eastern Patriarch? Why? And then we explored some of the places that Pope Francis, Pope St. John Paul II, Pope Benedict XVI, and Pope Paul VI visited in the Holy Land.
Oh, that's so fascinating. And so, okay, so we heard a lot about this pilgrimage that the Holy Father did. And yet, so Diana, that was going to be, I wanted to ask you sort of a big high-level question. And it sounds like a stupid question, but this is something that I honestly wondered about as a convert to Catholicism and to faith in general. The idea of a pilgrimage, of visiting these sites, did not initially resonate with me. I think because my faith was, it was just very cerebral. It was all concepts. So I kind of thought, well, I don't know. Why is it important that I visit Assisi or that I visit the Holy Land? I mean, I can read about it, right? That should be enough. So tell me from your experience, why does this matter? Why has the idea of a pilgrimage been something that even the earliest Christians were interested in?
People have been going on pilgrimage from like forever ago. I mean, and even non-Christians go on pilgrimage. You know, like you think about people who go see that place where John Lennon was shot in New York City, right? That's a pilgrimage. People go.
I hadn't thought about that.
Right? Yeah. I mean, people do that everywhere. People, obviously, you know, Muslims go to Mecca. Christians go to the Holy Land. Catholics go to all the many places that we have to visit where the saints lived and died and, you know, did their thing. The Holy Land pilgrimage is obviously the ultimate pilgrimage for any Christian because it is visiting the places where God spoke to his people. It is visiting the places where the promise was made and where the promise was fulfilled. And so, yes, from a cerebral perspective, you know, we can understand those things without visiting these places. But going to these places touches you in a way that you would have never thought possible. And it, you know, a lot of people call the Holy Land the fifth gospel, and they say that because you are in essence stepping into the Bible. And so it makes everything that you read about in the gospels, it makes everything that you think about during the liturgical seasons and, you know, the Feast of the Annunciation or the, you know, Holy Week, which we're coming up on, it brings it all to life to you in a way that reading it never can do.
Yeah, and Diana, it does. It makes so much sense to me now that I've been Catholic a while and that I've thought about it, that the incarnation is such a huge, unfathomable thing, that God himself became man and walked the earth. And so it's a very incarnational experience to take the Bible from words on a page and actually see these sites and touch the land. I mean, it is an incarnational experience. So now I kind of get it, why this thing is so important. So in this wonderful special that you have coming out called A Papal Pilgrimage in the Holy Land, again, you said you followed Pope Francis around his own pilgrimage to the Holy Land. So remind us, for those of us who don't remember, exactly how long did this take, and what sites did he, and then you guys following him, what sites did you visit?
Well, Pope Francis was in the Holy Land for 3 days in May of 2014. We were there a little bit before and a little bit after, because filming a television series takes more time.
Yeah.
But so he started his pilgrimage where every pope who has visited the Holy Land started. Now, the thing that a lot of people don't even realize is that since St. Peter left the Holy Land, no pope in the history of the Catholic Church went back to Israel until Pope Paul VI, which is completely
really?
Insane. Yeah, it's crazy.
Why?
If you think about it. Well, it was dangerous. You know, I mean, a lot of times they didn't leave Rome, except the only time that they left was when they went to Avignon. And even then, it wasn't really of their own accord, you know. So the only time that a pope actually went to the Holy Land was when Paul VI went. And so that was the first time. Then, you know, Pope John Paul I, you know, was only a pope for 33 days, so he didn't get a chance. And then Pope St. John Paul II went, and then Pope Benedict, and then Pope Francis. So that's huge in and of itself, you know. But they all started their pilgrimage in Jordan, which is important because a lot of people don't realize that Jordan is full of sacred sites, the most important being the place where Jesus was baptized. And that place is in Jordan. It's, of course, in the Jordan River, which separates Jordan from Israel. But so all the popes went there. Then on the second day of Pope Francis's pilgrimage, he went to Bethlehem, and he celebrated the Mass in Manger Square. And it was actually there that I saw two of your Sirius radio talk show hosts, Lino Rulli and Gus Lloyd. I saw them in the audience, and I was like, hey, you guys.
Oh, my gosh, you ran into them? That is so funny.
Yeah, it was crazy because we were filming it, and I was like, oh, my gosh, there they are in the audience. So,
Well, you should have thrown them on the show. They could have been your color in the background making little commentary. They would have been great at that.
That would have been awesome. But then after Bethlehem, he went to Jerusalem. He went to Israel. And so he was there in Israel that evening, and then the next day he was in Israel, and then he went back to Rome. So we were blessed we actually got to attend two of his events. We filmed the Bethlehem Mass, and then we got to film his meeting with the then president of Israel, Shimon Peres, at the presidential house, which was crazy.
I would imagine that was not easy to get that permission, Diana.
Oh my God, nothing was easy. Nothing was easy, but let me tell you, it was much easier than doing anything involved with the World Meeting of Families.
Oh, really? Was that? Well, I talked to you when you were out there for that. So, yeah, that sounded pretty chaotic.
Oh, totally. Yeah, it was much more difficult to get access to anything in Philadelphia than it was in Bethlehem, which is crazy to me, you know. But yeah, so it was difficult through the grace of God. You know, we were blessed to attend some of these events and we filmed them. And then when we didn't get to go, you know, he did some things that were, you know, the Pope is not all about the media. He was there to visit with people who were suffering. In addition to meeting with some of the, you know, the important people, he called for peace, you know, between Israel and, you know, and Palestine. And so he had a lot of things on his to-do list. And when we were invited, we got to go. And when we didn't, we did other things that were kind of aligned with that.
Wow. And so then you put that together for this great special called A Papal Pilgrimage in the Holy Land. I love that. And Diana, I just want to circle back to something you said at the beginning there when you pointed out that this is a very unique thing to have a pope making a pilgrimage to the Holy Land, that basically we went from Peter to Pope Paul VI. That's very interesting to me. And I wonder if modern communication is what had made this, is what has made this possible. That back in the day, before telephones or even the telegraph, if a pope were to leave Rome for a long period of time, there could be people claiming that he died, claiming that there's a new pope. So I guess that makes sense that they just weren't able to spend, other than, like you said, Avignon, which was a different thing. I guess they weren't able to spend long, long periods away from Rome without worrying about just utter chaos breaking out, or more chaos than there was to begin with anyway.
Well, that and the airplane, you know.
Right. Oh, that's right. Yeah, because that's the thing. They would have to be gone for months if they were going to go to the Holy Land, and that just that would not work. That's so interesting. So this is a very special thing that we have a Holy Father visiting the Holy Land, and then that you guys were a part of it. So, Diana, tell me, you were out there. You went to Jordan and Bethlehem and Jerusalem. What were a couple of moments that really stood out to you as being personally really meaningful, maybe a surprise moment that was better than you expected it to be, or just something that really touched you?
Well, Jordan in and of itself is an amazing place. I mean, I had never been to Jordan before. I was like a lot of people who go to the Holy Land. I just thought, you know, Holy Land is Israel and Bethlehem, and that's about it, you know. But you don't realize that Jordan, like I said, is full of sacred sites. I mean, that's where Moses was. You know, Mount Nebo is where Moses saw the Promised Land. That's where he died. You know, the Moses leading the Israelites, most of that happened in Jordan. The prophet Elijah was in Jordan. Ruth was in Jordan. I mean, all these people lived in Jordan, in what is today Jordan. And so we don't think about the Old Testament aspect of the Holy Land. Aside from that, you know, the people of Jordan were amazing. The food was spectacular. I mean, I came away with a great love for Jordan, and so did my camera guys. Like, they loved it there. The other thing was, you know, when we were in Bethlehem, one of the things that the Pope did was he met with some refugees, and he had dinner with them, and he just sat with them and listened to their stories. And so that was one of the events that we were not invited to attend. So what we did, we planned our own dinner with some locals, and we just went to their house and we sat with them, and it was one of the most unforgettable things that I've ever done. And what we've done is we've incorporated that, having dinner with local Christians, into pilgrimages that then we lead. And it's
I love that, Diana.
Yeah, and people love it. I mean, if you think, like, these people are visiting the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, where Jesus was crucified, died, and resurrected, and yet the favorite part of their pilgrimage is meeting with local Christians. How awesome is that?
I love it. And that makes sense, Diana. That's one of the things when I travel, I always find that if I go somewhere and I never have a chance to meet with people who are actually living there and connect with them and form those real bonds, I almost feel like it was a waste of time being there. I mean, there's something so magical about connecting with people, especially if they're fellow Christians who you have so much in common with, but are living this completely different life. Oh, I love that. I want to go on your pilgrimage, Diana, so that I can hang out with these locals. Yeah. And did you say that was Bethlehem where you do that?
Yeah, we do that in Bethlehem because Bethlehem is a very Christian community. There's also a huge Christian community in Nazareth. But, you know, those are two places where you can meet these people. And, you know, a lot of people don't realize that these are Christian Arabs. They're people who are Arabic of nationality. You know, that's what they are. They speak Arabic, but they're Christians. Some of them are Catholic, you know, and people don't even realize. They think every Arabic is a Muslim. No, that's not true. And so just being able to share this meal with them was special. And what it did for me, what it did for a lot of the pilgrims who experienced this, was that it made our prayers for the Holy Land active, in the sense that we're not just saying, oh, yeah, God, I want peace in the Holy Land, please. It's like, no, Jesus, I love my friend Habib. I love my friend Nelly. Please bring them peace. You know, and it brought a sense of urgency to my prayers that I think just going there was just kind of like, you know.
So. Wow. Well, yeah. And it's I think ultimately that is so much of what Pope Francis wants us to do. Such a key message of his pontificate, that when we think of world problems like poverty or whatever, he doesn't want us to think of this as a concept, that it's somewhere out there. And I don't know, there's some prayers that we should probably be saying. He wants us to get our hands dirty, to actually look someone in the eye who is struggling with poverty and ask them for their life story and connect with them. So I love that, how you said that this it humanizes the struggle that we hear about, that we read about in the papers, of persecution of Christians. That, like you said, suddenly you're praying for your friend Habib and not just the random, this vague idea of Christians mm-hmm. who are persecuted. That is so powerful. And is that part of the special that we can see? Again, it's called A Papal Pilgrimage in the Holy Land. Is that part of the special, meeting with the locals?
It is, yeah. In the Bethlehem episode, I take you into our dinner at my friend Nellie and Mike's house. And then in the Israel, so the first episode is all on Jordan. The second episode is all on Bethlehem. And then the third episode is Israel. And so in the third episode, I get to introduce you to my friend Habib, who is a native Nazarene. I mean, how crazy is that?
Oh,
right?
I love that. That is so cool.
Yeah. So, and he's awesome. He's a fantastic guy. And he loves his town, and he loves sharing about it. So that's what I want to do, is I want to introduce people to these people and tell them, look, you know, they're just normal people like you and I, you know, they're, and even the people that I met in Jordan who were Muslim, fabulous people, you know, fabulous people. And so it's like, you know what, like sometimes just meeting these people, it makes it easy to love them from a Christian perspective, instead of just from a, like, a, oh, I'm going to love. Yeah, I love you. Like Jesus doesn't. No, I love you because you're awesome. You know?
Yeah.
And so and it makes life easy, you know, because then you can pray. Oh yeah. Okay. Not every Muslim wants to kill me. You know,
yeah,
not every Arab is a Muslim. Not, you know, I mean, it is, the world of the Holy Land is unique. It is complex. And it is one that I think you can only understand if you go there. And it's one thing that I feel very strongly about. I think that every Catholic, every Christian needs to go to the Holy Land because, you know, like I said, it's not just a trip. It is not just, I'm going to go to Italy, I'm going to go to Ireland, I'm going to go to Rome. No, it will change the way you pray. It will change the way you think about people. It will change the way you think about God and Jesus and Mary and the disciples and everything. It changes your spiritual life. And it changes just the way that you have charity for other people, which, you know, I think it brings us closer to God in that sense.
Oh, I love that. And so I can't wait to watch this. I'm in a season of life, Diana, where I probably can't go to the Holy Land anytime real soon. Travel's kind of out of the picture for me right now. But I love it that's why you're putting together this great series that I can watch. And it's second best. I agree. One day I need to get there. And I'd love to go on one of your pilgrimages and meet these local friends of yours. That sounds fantastic. But until I can do that, I love it that you've got this Papal Pilgrimage in the Holy Land 3-part special. And so where can we... I'm ready to watch it. Where can we find this?
The show actually started broadcasting on NetTV, which is out of Brooklyn, Friday. So they already broadcast the first show, although they will be continuing to broadcast it during the month of March. EWTN is going to broadcast it in May. We're still waiting to hear when Catholic TV is going to broadcast it. So it's going to be pretty much on all of the Catholic networks, at least here in the United States. For people who want to find out more, I encourage them to go to our website, thefaithfultraveler.com, and I will, of course, post a schedule as soon as I get it. But like I said, Net is already broadcasting it, and EWTN will have it out in May.
Oh, I love that. And Diana, before we run out of time, one final question that's a little bit of a tangent from this, but that I'm so interested in. I read in your bio that your husband is involved in this with you, and he helps produce the Faithful Traveler show. I think I read that he does some camera work too. And yeah. And I was mentioning that to my husband this morning. I said that you were going to be a guest, and I was reading from your bio. And my husband kind of stopped everything and said, wait, that's the best job ever. They get to work together and do this amazing work. And he found that so interesting. And I was also thinking about it because before you came on in the first segment, I was contrasting the Underwoods in that show House of Cards to the Reagan marriage, and just talking about how great it is when we can unite in our marriages and kind of have a common goal that we're working towards, where each of us do kind of things that complement what the other person does. So could you just tell us briefly how you got into this business of doing pilgrimages and then having a TV show, and how it came about that you and your husband are able to do this together?
Sure. Well, first of all, this is unfortunately not a job. This is a hobby. We actually have actual jobs that pay us money.
Oh, okay. So you're not making the Catholic big bucks. Like, no one goes into the Catholic world to get rich.
No. For the most part, we are not being paid to produce The Faithful Traveler. We pay for it ourselves.
Wow.
Sometimes we get sponsorships, but I'm a legal editor. My husband works at a nonprofit. And so those are our regular jobs. I do the Faithful Traveler on the side, and I do it when I can, and he does it when he can. But we started doing this because, you know, I'm a cradle Catholic. He's a convert. And, you know, when we got married, we were watching a lot of the Travel Channel, and we were always like, gosh, you know, whenever they go to Catholic places, they always kind of, they either gloss over it or they kind of talk about us like we're kind of crazy.
Yeah, I've noticed that. It drives me crazy.
Yeah, and it's annoying. You know, we have so many beautiful things, and, you know, I mean, having been to Europe before, I would have loved to see somebody really tackle, you know, like soccer court or whatever, and tell us what's in there. And like you said, you know, what we want to do is we want to produce these shows for two reasons. One, to encourage people to go, and two, to give people the opportunity to go if they can't, you know, so take them virtually. And so when we were going to Paris and the Loire Valley on our honeymoon, and we were kind of playing around, like pretending when we were there with our baby camera. And when we came home, we were like, you know what, we should totally do this. And so I taught myself how to work the editing suite, and David has been working with, you know, prosumer cameras, and we just made it happen.
Wait, so you did not have a background in film editing. You taught yourself.
I was an English major.
Diana, that is so cool. And you know what, this points to something that I've noticed in your shows, that in The Faithful Traveler, that you can tell that they are labors of love. And I didn't know that you guys aren't, I kind of assumed, Diana, somehow that you were making the big bucks. I mean, I've never known anyone to make big bucks in the Catholic world, but it's just so well done. And what I see now is this, it's a labor of love. You guys are doing this not because you have to, not because it's some clock punching job, but you love it and you want to do this. And we are all so blessed for it. I think that is so interesting. Well, now all the more I want people to go to thefaithfultraveler.com, check out the great work that you're doing, and then see where they can see your new series, A Papal Pilgrimage in the Holy Land. And so this, The Papal Pilgrimage in the Holy Land, this was another just labor of love for you guys? That's amazing.
Yeah, we were sponsored by the Israel Ministry of Tourism and the Jordan Tourism Board to go out there. So they covered our costs. But, you know, like, nobody's paying us.
Wow.
I wish they were, you know.
We'll work on that, Diana. One of these, that's coming, I'm sure. This is so exciting. I definitely want to keep up with what you're doing. So, and you're on social media as well. Can people find those links at thefaithfultraveler.com?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, Diana, I want to have you back on again. Let us know when you have your next exciting thing coming out, your next labor of love. We want to hear that one of these days, maybe NBC will give you a deal and you guys will be making millions. But until then, I want everyone to support you guys. Go to thefaithfultraveler.com. And Diana, I know everyone is really excited to check out A Papal Pilgrimage in the Holy Land. And thank you so much for joining us here on the Jennifer Fulweiler Show today.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Thank you so much, Diana. See, I told you that would be great. I know when I meet people in person, there are some people who I meet in person, or I guess I hadn't met Diana in person, but I knew about her and I talked to her before. And I just told Jackie to book her. I said, have her on. It's going to be great. She's going to be interesting. You just know when you meet interesting people. And that is definitely the case with Diana. That was every bit as interesting as I thought it would be. All right. So coming up next, we are heading into hour two. But before we get into hour two, where we're going to talk to Daniel Bean, I'm going to tell you about the big disruption at my church, people yelling. They had trumpets for some reason, trumpets. And my latest kickboxing fail. Before we get to that, Pope Francis is on retreat this week, and the retreat leader is leading him and the other retreat people, there's a word for that that I'm not coming up with, through the 10 questions that are asked in the gospel. And I thought, how about this? This week, in the third segment of each hour, so just towards the top of the hour, for each of the 2 hours that I'm on the air, why don't we go through each of these questions and we can go on retreat with Pope Francis? I think that sounds like so much fun. I can't wait. So I've got that for you next when we come back here on the Jennifer Fulweiler Show on the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129.